Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we once again make a mark for family freedoms in America. America being one of the last bastions still interested in protecting the rights of families to make decisions concerning the education of their children. I think this is a critical battle in the 21st century. Hey, back in the 17th century, people were concerned about the rights of the church. And, of course, state control of the church was really, really strong. And that's why America was founded, of course, back in the 1600s. And there was some desire to see some liberty, some freedom for the church. Now that the battle has shifted to the sphere of the family, and whoever is fighting for family freedoms, parental freedoms, to me, are effectively the freedom fighters, the ultimate freedom fighters of the 21st century. And if freedom will survive in the 21st century, it will be because there have been some who have fought these battles for parental freedoms. And we appreciate what HSLDA has done over the years. But down in Texas, an important battle is playing out right now. And I want to get down into Texas to talk about what is going on there with Child Protective Services, and the battle for family freedoms is all over the United States. I know there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of cases around the United States where parents, families are abused by social services, child protective agencies, where the Bill of Rights is largely ignored. And today the battle is waging in Texas. And the Texas Homeschool Coalition is on the front lines of this battle. We appreciate what they have done over the years. And now a very important case has come before them where a family has lost their children. Their children were forcibly removed from their home, I believe, out towards Austin, Texas, in spite of no evidence of abuse or neglect. It was by order of a judge, Graciela Oliveira of the 256th District Court of Dallas County. Judge Oliveira issued a removal order at an ex parte hearing in which the parents were not represented nor notified. That from THSC. And now the director of THSC, Tim Lambert, no stranger to our program, is back with us. Tim, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be with you.
Tim, you know what? We have the impression up here in Colorado that Texas is the last home of the free, the last land of the brave. And yet the battle is still there. Tyranny is a constant threat, and apparently a threat in Texas, too.
Well, Kevin, that is certainly true. And I mentioned, I've been saying for the last couple of years that in Texas, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we were fighting this battle. It was in on the basis of compulsory attendance and truancy issues. And we won that battle, but today the battle has shifted to the family courts. So this is the CPS cases, grandparent access cases, custody cases, in which a judge gets to make a decision, quote, based on quote unquote the what is in the best interest of the child. And in the Dallas County area, this case has come up. This is a family, you know. Kevin, it's just amazing. This is a family, a blended family. They're Christians. They minister to the homeless. They work with a nonprofit organization to rescue children. I mean, this is an amazing family. And they were, CPS had even placed an infant with them. They were keeping a 5-sibling group. So they had 12 kids in the home at the time. And one of the autistic children wandered away. An older brother went with him trying to keep him. The dad went to look for the children. And before he could find them, police found them, brought them back. And the police said, oh, this is a messy house, too many kids here, and referred CPS.
So no CPS abuse, no abuse, no neglect. Nobody had been starving to death for the last 2 days. This is just a random family, probably a fairly normal family where, you know, you might have a little bit of a messy house. Your 4-year-old wanders away. What family in America has not had an incident in which their 4-year-old wandered away in Walmart?
Well, that's exactly right. If you look at the comments on our blog about this, you can tell who the families are because they're saying this is crazy. And the caseworker comes out. She looks things over. Mom has, these people have been vetted to care for kids. She has an affidavit from her doctor saying that she's mentally and physically fit to care for children. The caseworker says, well, I want you to undergo some psychiatric evaluation. And she says, well, here's this thing from my doctor. She said, well, I'll check on that. She goes back to her office, never contacts the family again. goes to the judge for what she says as to force compliance with this order. But in her language, she says the children are in physical and imminent danger, which is the statutory language required for removal of the children. Of course, as you mentioned, this is an ex parte hearing, so that means the family's not notified, they're not represented by legal counsel. And this judge, and of course, we'll never know exactly what happened there because, you know, there's no transcript. The judge issues a removal order. Now, you might think if these children were really in imminent physical danger that they'd go out that afternoon. Well, it was a week later before they went out and they took the kids. Now, by this time, these kids who were temporarily placed with the family hadn't been moved on, and they came in and took seven of their children forcibly. They had this family has two adult children, one a daughter who's got kids, a son who's a student doing very well at Texas A&M University. I mean, these are just great people. And two of the kids they have are adopted. They take the four kids. There's a hearing in front of this judge. In Texas, they call it the 14-day hearing. So the state has to justify their taking of the children or be returned. And at that hearing, it was unbelievable. Now, of course, there's a transcript, so we're getting our information from the friends and supporters of the family who were in the courtroom. It was an eight-hour hearing, and you would expect, Kevin, that that discussion, that evidence would be based on what is the evidence justifying the removal of these children. There was none of that. Hmm. The focus was they beat this family up and mocked them for their faith. They went after the nonprofit organization that they worked with, and they attacked their homeschooling and made outrageous comments about what the law requires. There was nobody there testifying about that. This is strictly the lawyers talking. And the judge ruled that they would keep it, the family's kids.
It sounds to me this is a partisan thing. This is a liberal going after a quote-unquote conservative Christian family. And you know, they found the marks of this family being conservative, and they were liberal, and so they threw the book at them. They're going to make them suffer because they're voting for the wrong guy for president of the United States. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Well, but you know, one of the things we've done, Kevin, we have such a problem with this in Texas with these judges. I basically said this is not a conservative versus liberal issue. Now, in this case, it was a Democratic judge, democratically elected judge, and was a conservative Christian family. Mm-hmm. But we've launched, Kevin, we call it the Texas Judicial Wall of Shame on our website, and we are listing these judges for their actions.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Kevin, we've got a bunch of Republican judges, and they don't follow the law. Mm-hmm. They don't respect parental rights, and they don't hold CPS accountable.
Why is that, Tim? Why are they doing this?
Well, I think there's four reasons. One is their judicial philosophy is they believe that they're there to protect the children, quote unquote, and anything they do, much like CPS, if my motive is to protect children, then whatever I do is justifiable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I both know that a criminal being prosecuted in a criminal court has more rights than a parent in a family court.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep,
and
Yep. And these are kangaroo courts. These are kangaroo courts. And, you know, this is the kind of thing Patrick Henry was a little upset about and really drove the founding fathers to you know, work the Declaration of Independence and fight the war for independence. They saw the tyranny and they responded the way they did. But, you know, here we are in Texas and these folks are these innocent families are being and you know. Don't you think the judges have kids? Don't you think that some of these CPS people have children too? And would they like to be treated that way?
Well, Kevin, unfortunately, I think that's the problem. I think most of these CPS workers don't have children.
Okay.
They don't approach life. In fact, this caseworker came back to this family, and when she interviewed this, she was like, I mean, you have seven kids. You spend all day long at home. Why would you do that? Why would anybody spend all day long with this many kids?
Yeah.
You know, there must be something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is the problem, is that these people don't have children. They don't understand what a normal family does. And they're saying, why would you work with the homeless? You know, you're crazy.
Hmm. So fundamentally, they're really against home educators, or they're against Christians. Which do you think it is?
Well, I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I think their worldview is different,
mm-hmm.
and I think they look at people that have our worldview, Christians and homeschoolers who love children, who think that children are a blessing from the Lord, and who may often have big families, and they think there is something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is, Kevin, what we see in these cases, both with judges and CPS workers, is they lie. Mm-hmm. And if they get caught in doing something, then they begin to obfuscate and fabricate. And what we do, unfortunately, we didn't get connected with this family early in the process. We would have had an expert witness like myself in the court to testify about homeschooling. And the other thing, Kevin, we always tell, if you're dealing with CPS, you record every conversation,
mm-hmm.
phone conversation, personal conversation. You document everything so you can get in court when that happens. You can document what was actually happened or what they said. Fortunately, in this case, in Texas, we elect our judges, Kevin, but associate judges, there's so many cases that these judges appoint associate judges. And so that's what we're dealing with in this case. Judge Alvera was an associate judge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like what happens there, you can appeal, and then you go in front of an elected judge,
okay.
a district judge. And so that's what the family did here.
Okay.
January 7th, they were back in court in the district judge. And they had another eight-hour hearing. And the judge initially said, I only want to hear evidence on justification for removal. But again, they got involved in the homeschooling and all this kind of stuff. I actually wrote a letter to the guardian ad litem that was appointed by the judge, the initial judge, to represent the children, but who made all these outrageous and untruthful comments about what the state required of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote her a letter and clarified with a copy of a letter from the Texas Education Agency and a letter from the Department of Family Protective Services regarding homeschooling, and clarified that the statements she had been making were untrue. She actually told, this guardian ad litem actually told the family, Kevin, that she didn't see anything wrong with this family, but unless the family, she had taken these children, some of whom had special needs, to a school official, public school official, and quote unquote had them tested. And of course, some of these kids were so emotionally distraught from being ripped away from their families that they were unable to take these tests. And so she comes to the court and says, I think these kids are woefully behind academically. She told the family, I don't see anything wrong. I don't see any safety issues here. I don't see any problems with abuse or neglect, but I'm not going to recommend to the court that your children be removed unless you agree never to homeschool.
Hmm. Wow. That sounds almost like the German case where they're remanding the Wunderlich family children back into public schools and preventing the family from leaving the state. I mean, this is like the German tyranny all over again in Texas. It's hard to believe.
So in the January 7th hearing, although the judge said she wanted to focus on the evidence justifying removal, she didn't do that. They did back off a little bit on homeschooling, and ultimately the judge said, look, what happened here does not justify removing the children. So I'm going to put the four kids back with you. The two that are in adoption, we're going to keep in foster care. But she said, I am not going to allow you to put these kids, homeschool these kids. You got to stay in public education. We want to get them academically assessed. And this is what she said, Kevin. She said, you know, if your kids were 2 years behind in public school, you would be there banging on their door. And, well, I'm here. And we're banging on your door. We want to know where these kids are academically. And we don't believe that she has the authority to do that under the family code. Texas, we don't have anything like educational neglect.
Okay.
And so they are pursuing that. We're actually taking action against the caseworker and her supervisor. We're asking for an investigation and discipline or removal for these workers, and we're going to take that to the governor and legislators who oversee CPS.
Yeah.
And then we are also, we've ordered the transcript from the last case, And our goal is to get this initial judge removed and expose what's going on here to the public.
So the Kenneth family, it's the Tutt family. Kenneth family homeschool their kids. And what has to happen now in order for them to be able to, you know, remove this court order and enable them to homeschool and really just enjoy the liberties that Texas provides?
Well, their attorney is continuing this process. The judge ordered academic assessment. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to, you know, they're going through that process. What we hope is that as we bring publicity to this and the public becomes aware of what this judge is doing, that she doesn't have authority to do, that she will back off of this and return the children. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I mean, we call it a partial victory because they got four of their children back, but they're not being allowed to homeschool. Mm-hmm. And we think that is illegal, and we're pursuing both legal as well as political options.
Can this be appealed to the Texas Supreme Court?
Well, Kevin, I'm not sure at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, we're trying to do what we can from a legal standpoint, and the attorney in the case is actually focused on getting the kids back at this point. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at appeals, you know, as that becomes available. So right now we've got different options. We're pursuing the legal option, you know, to get the kids back. We're also pursuing going after what I would call political pressure, investigating this event from the legislature's standpoint with the CPS workers. And then we're going to file judicial ethics complaints against the judges and bring publicity to bear, and hopefully, and we have an election this year, so some of these judges are going to be up for re-election, and we hope to hold them accountable, if no place else, at the ballot box.
Tim, what can families do? I'm sure, you know, there are tens of thousands of families listening to our program, and they're probably thinking, boy, I'd sure hate for this to, this is the ultimate nightmare. For the average family, I mean, you take my guns, you can take my house, but you take my kids. You know, that's the worst possible scenario for, I think, a lot of families out there. What can they do, perhaps to help the Tutt family, to help what's happening in Texas here, or just what can they do in general to secure parental freedoms in these areas?
Well, Kevin, one of the things I always tell people is the first thing you need to do is educate yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to get in one of these situations where you have absolutely no idea what to do. We obviously, if there are people that live in Texas, we encourage you to join our association. We have a Texas handbook for homeschoolers that we publish. We have a website that has, and we deal with what to do if CPS comes to your door.
Yeah.
We do a continuing legal education seminar. We've trained hundreds of attorneys in Texas to defend families from CPS, and so we refer people to them. But the big thing is, and of course, in this family situation, Kevin, these were family. This is a family who was part of that system. I mean, they care about children. They rescue children through this nonprofit group, and CPS has actually placed children. So they're working with CPS in some of these situations. And so what my point in dealing with these folks is, look, you always assume that that they're not going to tell the truth.
Yeah. These people Texas, They can bite back. You've got to be careful. You've got to be really careful.
That's exactly right. So we in Texas, the law is if you're part of a conversation, you can record it and without notifying the other person. So when somebody's dealing with CPS, I always tell them, look, if it's a phone conversation, record it. If you're going in or they're coming into your home, you record it, either video or whatever. And we've had some situations where a caseworker says, I'm not having this conversation if you're recording it. We're not having this conversation unless we do record it. Mm-hmm. Kevin, one of the great stories I tell is we had a family up in the panhandle here who had a similar situation. They didn't lose their kids. But they were being investigated. And I love it when people know what's going on. They follow our advice. So this family did everything we encouraged them to do. They recorded all these conversations. They refused to allow CPS to invest they wanted to interview their children alone. And in Texas, that often means we're going to disrobe them. We're going to, you know, ask them questions. And we said, they said, well, we're not willing to do that. They got an attorney. When they got this attorney, And so CPS was taken to the court because they couldn't get their kids. And so this attorney, when they went to this attorney, they said, well, here's all our recordings. This is everything we've done. This attorney's like, wow, I have never had a client this well prepared. So when they get in court, you know, now they're in front of a judge, and the CPS is saying, well, we want access to those kids alone to interview them. That's our policy. And their attorney says, look, we've offered to allow CPS to interview these kids as long as their attorney is present.
Yeah.
And CPS says, no, we won't do that. And the judge hears all this evidence of their willingness to cooperate, and the judge was furious at them. And so they forced them to allow them to interview with the attorney present, and they closed the case.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that I point out, especially if you're, you know, Kevin, there are a lot of homeschool families who would love to adopt children,
yeah.
you know, who have a heart for kids. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these families are very, very reluctant to deal with CPS
yeah.
just because of these kind of stories.
Yeah.
So my point is, whether you're dealing with them on a regular basis or you're dealing with them intermittently, you ought to record those conversations. You ought to assume that they are not there to do what is in the best interest of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing we do is we educate a lot of family law attorneys that have our worldview, and so we want to put them in front of attorneys, you know, who are coming from our perspective, who are able and willing to defend these families.
Yeah. Well, get ready, get educated. Be sure you're tied in to some kind of legal defense, whether it be the THSC folks or HSLDA. And I think there's also a heritage defense out there as well. There's just some good defense organizations, and it's probably good at the very least to have the number of your attorney on the fridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Kevin, if folks want to follow this, they can go to our website, thsc.org, and they can just search for TUTT, T-U-T-T, and we'll be updating folks as this saga continues.
And pray for these families. Pray for these families. I mean, there's a God Absolutely. In the heavens, and he's got the kings of the earth in his hands and turns their hearts whithersoever he wills. Pray for these families like the Tutts and, of course, the Wunderlichs out in Germany and anybody else who's have to go through this. I mean, I think none of us would ever want to sign up for this, but these folks ultimately become the test cases. And if they're fought well, and if they're fought well by good attorneys who share our worldview, as Tim said, then we get the victory. And we've seen many victories. Not to be discouraged in any of this, Tim. You're not being discouraged. You're still in the battle after all these years. Really appreciate the work that you do for family freedoms down there.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you too. Thanks for holding up the torch and continue to do what you do.
Boy, it just sends a chill up my spine to think about going through that experience, an excruciating experience, to lose your kids to a system that does not retain a Christian world and life view, and to see your kids leave the home, leave the Christian home, and be pulled into a tyrannical system where who knows where they're going to end up. It's a frightening thing, especially when our systems today have no concept of biblical morality in terms of sexuality, in terms of parental freedoms, in terms of parental responsibilities, in terms of what it is to provide a Christian upbringing for our kids. When you've got a secular system that doesn't respect the Christian system, and it's based on dysfunctionality and dysfunctional family life, they're probably not going to recognize functional family life if it hit in the back of the head with a 2x4. And so, friends, let's fight the good fight for freedom. Definitely get involved and be praying for these families and support people like THSC or a Heritage Defense or HSLDA. These are all organizations that we support, and we have interviewed them multiple times on this radio broadcast. Why? Because the battle for freedom is the battle for parental rights in the 21st century. Folks, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm all for faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Join us again next time, won't you, as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.